So Parshas Bo, Tov Shin Pei, we'll start Shir for this week. Bez Hashem, the Shir should be the Schuser for Shlema of Yisrael ben Blima, and the Zeche Nishmas, Kalman ben Chaim, David Yehuda ben Yosef Meir HaKohen, and David Avram ben Chiyakahas, Yisrael, Hashem should have Elias. So we're in the middle of talking really about these Parshas, so the Gula from Mitzrayim, and the process of Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim and the entire redemption process. And Parshas Bo is in the middle of it, because it starts in Va'era, and then really Shmos, and then the Shmos Va'era, and then Bo, and then the Bishalach is really where the Geula, where we leave. We finally exit and have the Kriyas Yamsif. The Parshas Bo, just to give a high-level overview and summary, discusses the final three Makos of the ten Makos, the ten plagues that had in Mitzrayim. Goes to Arbe, Choshech, and Makas Bechoros, the locusts, the swarms of locusts, and the darkness that overcame all of Mitzrayim and affected the Mitzrim terribly. And then the final blow, the Makeh B'Potish, the Makas B'Choros, the firstborns being killed. And the Parsha really goes ahead and focuses on those three Makos. And in addition, teaches us a lot of different mitzvahs. We get the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael of mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, and then a lot of mitzvos pertaining to the Korban Pesach, to the mitzvos of matzah, of maror, eating it, and how to eat it and everything. So that's all discussed in this week's Parsha as well. And it's kind of, there's a break when Makas Bechoros is told over from Hashem, and then the Korban is discussed, and then it goes back to the actual Makas happening. And then the Parsha concludes after Makas Bechoros happens and Pyro's firstborn son is killed. So he goes ahead, he says, you know, basically they kick the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and they started getting ready to leave. They were leaving, and they took in the middle of the Parsha also, which we'll discuss tonight hopefully, a lot of valuables from the Egyptians, which they then at the end of the Parsha take with them as they leave Mitzrayim, and their own valuables as well. And the matzah, of course, with them, the provisions that they made, the dough, as they're leaving. And on the 15th of Nisan, and this we know is commemorates now the Chag of Pesach. And the parsha concludes with a couple of more mitzvos. I'm talking about eating matzah on Pesach, the mitzvah of recounting the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim on Pesach at the Seder. And this concept of redeeming a firstborn donkey for a sheep, which is then given to the Kohen, mentions the mitzvah of tefillin, and then kind of leads us into next week's parsha for Parshas Bishalach. So just to start with a short idea from Ramayach Biederman in source number one. So he quotes as follows. He says, the Kat HaKemach from Rabbeinu Bechaye writes that we were freed from Mitzrayim because the nation had bitachon. They trusted Hashem would save them. Meaning, the reason that the Geula came about was because of the bitachon that Klal Yisrael had. Even in the situation that they were in for so many years, hundreds of years in slavery, not seeing any signs of hope, any signs of light, any signs of anything good coming about anytime soon, they had bitachon. They never let go of hoping and trusting in Hashem that Hashem's going to save them. And because of that bitachon, that's why they were saved. Also, Hashem made a havtacha to Avram that they're going to go into Mitzrayim, they're going to come out. But what caused it? It's okay, the Dam Pesach, the Dam Mila. But according to the Karak Chamach, quoting from Rabbeinu Bechaye, it was really their bitachon that caused the Geula. Beautiful idea. And it quotes Medrash Dehillim. It says, Eilecha za'aku v'nimletu, that they shouted out to you and they were saved because b'cha batchu v'loboshu, because they trust in you. Why were Klal Yisrael saved? Because they had bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A theme and an idea that we'll see hopefully as we get to later sources as well, throughout the Parsha of Klal Yisrael's bitachon in Hashem. So if we look at source number two, this is really the crux of the first Aliyah, which I didn't mention the entire conversation that happened in Hakdama, but basically Hashem tells Moshe to go to Paro and tell him that he hardened his heart, and that basically, he's gonna be able to tell his children that they made a mockery of Mitzrayim and everything, and all these different makos that happened. So they went to Paro and they told him what Hashem said, that and when are you going to go ahead and keep until when are you going to keep my people and send them out, let them serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Parah refused, and he said, if you refuse, Arba is going to come, and basically Moshe and Aaron run out. And then what happens is that Pyro's servants are smarter than Pyro, it seems. Pyro is ready to go ahead and let this Makkah come upon Mitzrayim. It doesn't agree to let Bnei Yisrael go. But his servants respond instantly, and they say, what are you doing? So if we look in source number 2, so the Psukim are right here, Pasuk in Perek Yud, Pasuk Zayim. Vayomer avdei paro elov, amasa yezon zelanu lemoike, shalach esa anashim yavdu esa adonai elohayhem, hatern tidaki adam Mitzrayim. Says, what are you doing exactly, Paro? Is he needs his own servants to open up his eyes to see what's going on. How long are you going to go ahead and do this? Send out the men, let them go serve Hashem. And don't you know Mitzrayim's lost already? Look what's going on in Mitzrayim. We've already had 7 Makos that have come. And Moshe's told us about all of them. They're destroying the land. The people are being killed. The crops are being killed. The animals are being killed. What's left? There's nothing left in Mitzrayim. So go. So the servants of Paro are trying to open up his eyes. And what happens? Vayushav es Moshe ves Aaron. So they went ahead and they brought Moshe and Aaron were returned to Paro, El Paro. Vayomar aleihem lechu ivdu es Hashem elokeichem iva mi'ahochem. Go serve your God. But he asked him a question. Who's going? Miva mi'ahochem. So what did Moshe respond? Next pasuk, pasuk tes. Vayomer Moshe ben Arenu v'skeninu menilch v'vaninu v'nosinu v'vnosinu v'tzaninu v'vkarenu neilich ki chagadu na'ilanu. He says, we're all going. The youngsters, the elders, the sons, the daughters, the animals, the cattle, the flock, everything is coming with us because it's going to be a chag. It's going to be a holiday. It's a festival for Hashem. So Pyro then responds, Vayomer aleim yichein adonai yimachim kasher shalach eschem estapchem rikira ra'ah neged panechem. So he said to them, so be Hashem with you as I will send you forth with your children. Look, the evil intent is opposite your faces. And he says, no. Lo chin, l'chu naha gvarim v'ivdu es adonai ki osa atam v'akshim v'gar shasam v'es p'nei paro. So he said, I'm not letting this happen. You're not all leaving. Go, that's only the men. Let the men go now. That's it, to serve Hashem. For that is what you seek. And they all left Paro's presence. Right, that's the back and forth here, which is a very interesting take. So, if you look in the Yismach Moshe, in source number 3, so Moshe Teitelbaum, he has a very beautiful insight here, and then the Kliyakar in source number 4 we'll discuss as well, talks about this back and forth in the servants and Paro and Moshe's conversation. But the Yismach Moshe first points out the following. He says, "Hine Paro chishev ki adayin lo higi ez managula." Paro knew that there was going to be a geula. He wasn't a fool. He was the king. He was pretty wise. He couldn't be that dumb. He might have been blinded, but anybody could be blinded. He was a wise man. He knew that this redemption was ultimately going to go happen. But his calculation was off. Exactly how you count the 400 years, 210 years, one night, how you figure it out. Paro had a cheshbon that was wrong. Also, Moshe didn't tell him now is the redemption. He just said, let us go on a journey. Let us go offer korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say we're actually aval lo shiyiglu case. But he didn't say that now is the time for the ultimate geula. Now is the time that all the Jews, with me and Aaron, and all that were all leaving and not coming back.
Never asked for more than 3 days off.
Right. He never asked for more than 3 days off. And he never told him that, you know, this is it. This is it. You're not going to have us as slaves anymore. He never revealed that to Paro. So Paro didn't know that was happening. So he says as follows: Ki Moshe Amrlo, ki anachnu muchrochen shelo liyipari mitapeno kedei shelo nisalek hashchina miitanu. When Moshe responded to Paro and told him, when Paro said miva miha hochim, who's going with you? He said that our children are going with us. Moshe had to say that because he needed the shchina not to leave them. Meaning, if the children wouldn't be with them, the shchina wouldn't be with them. Ki im nislak. Because if the children would leave and the Shechina then wouldn't be there, then even at the proper time for the Geula, they wouldn't have a Geula because the Shechina is not there. They're not Shalim. They're not complete without the Shechina, and the Shechina is not there without Tapenu. That's why he says that the children have to go. V'hainu b'vaninu v'vnosenu neilech v'goymer ki chag v'tzun alomar hazmana kavuhu rak im haya Im Hashem lanu. He says that the daughters and the sons, they're coming with us ki chag, because it's going to be a chag, it's going to be a festival, meaning what? The Zman HaKavua is only going to be for Hashem at that time. So what's the message of the Yismach Moshe? What's he saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, the Geula can only happen if everyone is together. If the Tapenu, the Banenu, the Vivnosenu, Nelech, that we all go together, then Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, then the Shechina is going to be with us and we're going to be able to serve Hashem. It can't just be the men. You want it to just be the men, but that's not going to work for us. Then the Geula is not going to happen because the Shechina is not going to be with us because there's not Achdus with everybody in Klal Yisrael together. And you see from here that being a Jew isn't just for adults. It's not just for, you know, men who are above the age of bar mitzvah or 20, whatever you want to call a man in Judaism. But it's for everyone. The children needed to be included. The elderly needed to be included. The sick needed to be included. Everyone needed to be included as part of the Geula in order for the Shechina to be there and for the Geula to happen in the proper time. And that's what Moshe's response to Pharaoh was. A beautiful idea in the need for Achdus at the time of the Geula. So, delving into source number four now, the Kli Yakar, he has a bunch of kashas he asks. And we'll read the kashas inside, we'll try to explain them outside, and then we'll go through, hopefully, his answers. He really has one message that answers up all the questions. It's amazing when you can ask four or five questions and then just give one theme that goes ahead and runs through and answers up everything. So he says, Mi vami ha-halchim, says the Kli Yakar in source number four. Yesh benyan zes sveikos hein kafel mi vami ki dai be'echad. He said, first of all, why do you have to have a double lashon of mi vami? Who and who is going? Just say me. Mi holchem. Right? Who's going? So question number one, why the double lashon of mi vami ha-holchem in pasuk ches? Question number two, the Kli Yakar. Ve'od, ha-holchem lashon hoive. Eino misyashiv. The lashon of holchem, ha-holchem, which is the present perfect tense of the word, or the shorish halach, Hey Lamed Chaf, it doesn't make sense. Ki hayala lomar mi yelech mashmela haba. Because we're talking about people who are going to go out in the future. We're not talking about the present tense. Ki hahochim mashma shahochim achshav. When you say hochim, it's people who are going. Those who are going right now. No one's going right now. They will go in the future. Right? Vahari adayin loholchu. They didn't go yet. It should have said yelchu. Mi vami hahochim, it should say mi vami yelchu. Who and who is going to go? Not who and who is going now. No one's going anywhere. They're talking a paro. That's the second kasha of the Kli Yakar. Question number three. V'ochde pamim nelech. Again, a redundancy. If you look back in source number two, so on Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Moshe b'Narenu v'Zkenenu nelech. Nelech number one. B'vanenu v'Vnosenu b'Tzonenu v'Vivkarenu nelech. Nelech number two. Ki Chag Hashem Lanu. Why does it have to say nelech twice? Why does it have to say nelech twice? V'adayachem mehem yusar. Of course, certainly one of them is extra. Ki Hayel Olomar b'Narenu v'Zkenenu v'Vivnosenu nelech. Should have just said nelech at the end of everything. Question number four. V'yod ki Chag Hashem Lanu v'Hari L'mala Amar b'Shem Hashem. Why does it have to say Chag Hashem Lanu? We know it's a Chag Hashem. Who else are we going to celebrate? We've been saying the whole time, Moshe is saying in the name of Hashem to let us go. Hashem said, let us go. Let people go serve Hashem. Well, it's going to be a festival for Hashem. Of course it's going to be. Who else? Well, all of a sudden Moshe is changing his mind. It's going to be a festival for someone else. Why does it need to be redundant and emphasize again, Ki Chag Hashem, it's a Chag for Hashem. Yeah. Duh, it's a Chag for Hashem. Not for anyone else. So, explains the Kli Yakar. Yes, one more kasha at the end. The old kasha ki osa atem mevakshim lashon hove ve'elam ki osa bikashtim lashon avar. He has a lot of trouble understanding the redundancies and the grammatical context. So let's see if we can understand now what the Kli Yakar is trying to teach us by asking all these kashas. So if you look on page number two, the beginning of this next paragraph, he says as follows. Ubir l'chol ha-svikos ha-lo-lo-hu. I'll tell you all answer to all the questions. Ki paro lo shal es Moshe mi she-yelech. Paro wasn't really asking Moshe who's going. Paro knew what Moshe was going to answer. Paro was trying to preempt the answer that Moshe was going to give him. He knew that Moshe was going to say, everyone's going. But Paro ela gozar oimer shevade lo yelechu ki imascharim shedarkel mezboach. He was trying to hint to him, to tell him, mi vami hahochim, by saying, of course the men are going to be the only people that go, by hinting to the fact that, of course the men are going to be the only people that go to offer sacrifices. V'amar lechu ivdu es Hashem lokechem v'shaytetu na b'chol katzei olam upuk chazi my amar davar mi vami shedarkem lelech. Right? Paro was saying, you're going to serve God, great, go serve him. But look around the world. Who offers sacrifices? Who serves God in the by offering sacrifices? What do people do in the rest of the world? It's the men. The men are the one that offer sacrifices. Therefore, he said, who and who? Meaning, look around. Mi vami. Look at everybody else in the world, Moshe, because he knows Moshe is going to ask for everyone. So he's telling him, mi vami hahochim. Look who else in the world, when they go out to serve their gods, what do they do? Look to your right, look to your left. Mi vami. Liras b'chol makom hanog, mi shedarchem leilich l'sboach. Look what the minhag ha'makom is by everybody else when they go serve and they offer sacrifices. So that's what the lashon of mi vami is. Paro is preempting the answer of Moshe giving to say everyone is going by saying, don't tell me everyone's going to go, because that's not what people do. It should just be the men. That's why it says ha'ochim. Because who's it talking about? Not B'nai Yisrael who are going out right now. They're not in the present tense leaving. But it's everybody else in the world. Everybody else. What's the custom of people who are going to serve their God? That's why it says it in the Lashon of Hove. So again, Nelech is answering up. The reason it's there twice is to answer the mi vami. And here's the key line. Paro, you want to tell us that we should go and walk and travel and do like the rest of the world does, follow everybody else, be followers of the rest of the world. Aval anachnu lo kein. Paro, you don't know who you're talking to. We don't do that. We're not followers. We're not copycats. We don't just do what he does and what she does and what they do. That's not what Jews do. That's not what the Jewish people do. Lo kein nase, ela binareinu v'zkeinenu nelech. We're all going. Our kids are going. Our elders are going. Our animals are going. We're all going, yeah, and to sacrifice to God, even though no one else in the world might do that. And that's what you think? We're different. We don't just follow what everybody else does. And he then, if you skip and if you skip down to the first word in the line is Vehi, five lines up from the bottom, fourth word in Ze Sha'amar Kichag Hashem Lanu Tzarech Lios Gam Lanu V'yadua She'in Simchas Ha'adam Shleima Kim Bizman She'ishto Vana V'chol Kinyan Avima. And why did everybody have to go? What was Moshe Rabbeinu? What was the message he was conveying? Because there is no true simcha in life. There's no complete simcha, simcha shlema, unless your wife and your children and everything is with you. Imagine like being alone and going somewhere. I mean, you might relax by yourself a little bit, but that's not a simcha shlema. That's not a true redemption. You're going to go by yourself and offer korbanos to Hashem? Imagine like that. That's not going to be a perfect sense of geula, shlema, and a simcha for the individual. The definition for a Jew to really be shlemus is to be with his family, is to be with his wife, to be with his children, to be with everything he has together. And that's what the give and take here is with Moshe. So back to our questions, why me, vami, instead of just me? So it's because Paro was saying, look at the rest of the world. Look to your left, look to your right, look what they do. He was preempting what Moshe was going to say. Moshe was going to say, we're taking everybody. Paro was saying, no, you're only going to take the men. Look what everybody else does. And that's what Ahochem is. Look what everybody else does. Look what the people who are going, what they do. And the Nelech is really answering up the Mi Vami. And the Chag LaHashem, it's only a Chag LaHashem if we have everybody. If we have the Tapenu, the Banenu, the Nasenu, everyone has to be together. And then it's a Chag LaHashem Lanu. It concludes, Ki Eich Yashir Es Shir Hashem Al Admas Necha V'Ishto Avanov V'Kinyanu Nesunim B'Arvon Ba'ado. How could we like sing to Hashem and our wife and our children on the other side and we're not with them? You have to be with your wife in order to be besimcha. And that's also why he explains, it says Ne'alech twice. So a beautiful idea, and this is similar to the mitzvah of Hakel, where everybody went to hear the Torah being read at the Beis HaMikdash. Every single of the children, you'd have a two-year-old crying baby with you in your arms, and you would bring them with you to hear, because it was a sense of a family being together, because that's where the Simcha Shalema, to use the Lashon of the Kli Yakar, that's where it happens. That's how it happens. That's when it happens, not just the men. And another beautiful idea, just to draw out from here, is that we don't follow the rest of the world. Moshe said, I don't care what the rest of the world does.
There's a gematria on this, right? The me is gematria 50, so it's like 50%, and Nelech is gematria 100, which is like 100%. Me, Paro was like, me, like 50%, do like halfway, and then Moshe's like, Nelech.
We're all going. Beautiful. 100, 100, like, could be a Baal term or something. I don't know. I never heard this. Very nice. I don't know. But that's like an important lesson. Is here where B'nai Yisrael is being formed, where Klal Yisrael is coming into becoming really a nation as they're leaving Mitzrayim, they're getting their mitzvos, they're starting to go ahead and create an Am. It has to be together. It has to be the way that Moshe Rabbeinu, told by Hashem, is going to prescribe it to be done, not to follow other nations, not to follow the rest of the world. We know Avraham Avinu set that precedent for us, that we're, right, the whole world's on one side of the river and we're on the other. I don't care what the rest of the world's doing. And it's a lesson for each and every one of us, to every time we make a decision in life, to think like, okay, somebody else did that, but is that the right thing to do? Is that what I should be doing? Is that what the Torah wants me to do? Is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be proud of if I did that or not? And that's really what we see from here, is that Moshe said to Paro, the rest of the world, it doesn't matter what they do, what their values are, how they act, how they behave, what their customs are. It's not relevant to us. It's not important to us. We have a Torah. We follow the Torah. We follow the Tzivah Hashem, and that's it. If you look in source number 5, so this is a Baal term, actually, Jeff, but maybe there's another one somewhere, or maybe it's, you know, a different commentary. Baal term has a different way of understanding this. He says, Miva miha hochim, Amar Paro l'Moshe, Ma tem evakshim kokach aleches. Pyro says to Moshe, "What are you? Why are you asking so much to go? You want to get out of here so quickly? Do you think you're really going to Eretz Yisrael?" Somehow Pyro knew, whether it was through astrologers, through some sort of just knowledge, he was aware that they weren't going to Eretz Yisrael. Miva mi hahochem means ki kulam yamusa b'midbar. Who's really going? Come on, Moshe, give me a break. You're all going to die in the desert, and I know it. Chutz mi Yeshua v'Kalev, except for Yeshua v'Kalev. Those are the only two people that are really going to be going. Going where? Going into Eretz Yisrael. So what are you asking to leave so quickly? Where do you want to go? Where you going to travel in the desert? Yeah, that's what ultimately ended up happening for many years. And we got a Torah. So we had a place to go. We had a destination. We had a destiny to get to. But Pyro saying to Moshe, you think you're going to run out of here and have a great life in Eretz Yisrael and get there? You ain't going to Eretz Yisrael. None of you are going to Eretz Yisrael. None of you are going to make it there. You're all going to die, except for two of you. Says the Baal Turim further, Miva mi ahochem begematria kalev ubin nun. I didn't add it up. I trust the Baal Turim. Miva mi ahochem, those three words, in gematria, equal, who's going to be the ones to actually go and enter into Eretz Yisrael? Kalev ubin nun, a reference to Yeshua. What does Moshe Rabbeinu respond? What's the give and take? Vishivu Moshe, bin arenu viskenenu neilich. Our children and our elders are going to go. Kilo nigzer gzera lo apachos mi ben kof, v'lo yeser mi ben samech. Because the gzera in the midbar, that they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael from the punishment, Chet Egel, was only on those who were under 20 and above 60. So he said, who's going to go? Brilliant. A brilliant idea from the Baal Turim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, bin arenu uviz kenenu. The youngsters and the elders, they're not going to be part of the gzera of Misa. They're going to be able to go. Now, what actually happened, who went, who didn't go, it's for a separate discussion, but it's a beautiful way of understanding the give and take of Miva Miva Hochem, and then saying Ben Arenu Viskenenu, because they weren't part of, they weren't between those ages of 20 and 60. Okay. Moving on to source number 6, we're going to talk about Makas Choshech. Makas Choshech was the ninth plague. And if we look in Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Beis, so Torah tells us, Vayit Moshe es yado al shemayim. Moshe stretched out his hand to the shemayim. Vayihi choshech afeilo. And there was this choshech afeilo, a thick darkness. Bechol eretz Mitzrayim shloshes yamim. Over all of Mitzrayim for 3 days. Pasuk of Gimel, ro ish es achiv. They didn't see each other. People couldn't see one another. And no one rose from his place for 3 days. No one got up for 3 days. Now imagine that. You're sitting in a chair for 3 days. Now imagine standing for 3 days. That might be even a little... I don't know which one's easier. They're both hard. But like, you don't move for 3 days. That's what happened. But for all Bnei Yisrael, there was light in their dwellings. So, Makas Choshech, every Makka, if you like, think about it, like, you ask your kids, like, what was the worst Makka? Or you think about it yourself. What Makka would have been the worst to experience? You know, you think of one, and then all of a sudden you think, no. Arbe wasn't the locust. They were disgusting, gross, and it ate things, and it was yucky. And then Choshech, like, I have to sit in the same seat for 3 days and can't move. I'm paralyzed, basically. I can't go ahead and see anything. That's really bad. And then my firstborn son to be killed, that's the worst. Each one is like worse than the next, but going in ascending and descending order, they're all terrible. So this Mak of Choshech, if you look in source number 7, the Ksava HaKabbalah, and it's a long piece, he explains what happened exactly. What was this Choshech? So we're not going to read through the whole thing, but we'll just go ahead and quote it, because he gives us an interpretation to understand how severe and how strong this Mak of Choshech really was. He says, Milas Yehi Moira al Havayo Metzias Davarna. The word Yehi teaches us about something being created anew, something new being formed. Veze Nofa al Choshech Halayla Shehu Ha'eder Ha'or Levad. It's not just talking about when Choshech was created in this Makkah, the darkness of night, which is really just the absence of light. It's just lacking light. Shemitam Zel Oniskar. This Choshech was a wondrous and amazing type of Choshech, type of darkness, which came to go ahead and punish the Rishoyim. Nichtav etzlo yihi. This Choshech, he said, was different than any other Choshech that was ever existed beforehand, that was ever created prior to this. No one ever knew of this kind of Choshech. It was such a thickness of dark, of not being able to see, that even the sun, the moon, and a candle wouldn't be able to help them. Which is, it's hard for us to even understand what this means, because when we go outside, especially now with technology and lights and everything, we see pretty clearly at night. But like, we see a moon. We know the concept that like, you can light a fire outside and you'll see the candle. Here, you would light a fire in the darkness and you wouldn't see the candle. You wouldn't see the fire. It's a half leva pelo. Can you even imagine such a darkness? That's why it says the word afela. Afela teaches us that it was this thick darkness. So it's just teaching. The Ksava Kabbalah is telling us that this. What Choshech was, don't just think it was like night time for 3 days. That's not what it was. It was a darkness that was so severe and strong that the whole world never had something like this prior to this. That you wouldn't be able to see a light in the darkness if you created light in the darkness. If you lit a candle, the candle wouldn't be able to be seen by the Mitzrim. If there was a moon out, and there probably was when it was nighttime for the Jews, the Mitzrim couldn't see the moon. It didn't exist to them. It was a darkness that was so overwhelming, so strong, that they couldn't get up from their seat for 3 days. Ksava Kabbal just teaching us how strong the Makkah of Choshech was. And we're going to get back to it soon. If you look in source, this idea, and I'll tell you why I quoted it. If you look in source number 8, so Biederman here also quotes just a one-liner, but a beautiful idea. He says that the Pasuk says, L'ra ish esach echav. A person couldn't see his brother. The Mitzvim couldn't see one another. So the Chidush Arim said that when one doesn't see the needs of his fellow man, that's the greatest darkness. When Jews aren't helping each other out, that's Makas Choshech. And that's what the Torah is teaching us here. Loro ishes ach echav doesn't. It means literally one couldn't see each other. They couldn't see one another. But figuratively, it means they didn't see each other's needs. When you don't see each other's needs, then you're living in a world of choshech. You're not able to help one another. You're not able to go ahead and provide for what someone else needs in the world. And the inverse is true as well, that you can bring light into the world by helping someone else, by giving someone who needs a smile on a day that they're down, or any day, a smile, by saying hello, how are you to someone, and just being polite and friendly and cordial to someone, and recognizing, acknowledging that they exist. You see they have a need, that seeing someone needs money, seeing someone and lending them some money, seeing someone needs advice and giving them advice to help them with whatever situation they're dealing with, then you're ro'u ish esachav, and then you're bringing light to the world. But when you're lo ro'u ish esachav, that's makas chayshach. That brings the plague of darkness, says the Chidush Erin. So if you look in source number 9, now this is the introduction to the last makkah, and one tangent, and then back to the makkah. But Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, O nege echad avi al par ve'al mitzrayim ve'achar yechin yishlach eschem mizeh. He says, one more, Hashem tells Moshe, I'm going to bring one more makkah to Paro Mitzrayim, and afterwards he's going to let you go, finally. And when he lets you out, he's going to kick you out. He's going to really want you out of there quickly. Pasuk Beis, a very strange commandment from Hashem. Daber na ba'oz ne'ha'am, speak please now into the ears of the nation, v'yishalu ish meis re'ehu, and let them borrow from their friends, v'isha me'ish ru'usa, k'lei kesev v'k'lei zahav. And each man from the men, and the women from the women, and their friends, silver and golden vessels. V'yitena adonai z'chein ha'am b'enei mitzrayim, gam ha'ish Moshe gadol me'od b'eretz mitzrayim, b'enei avdei paro v'ne'am. And Hashem gave the people favor in the mitzvah's eyes, meaning the Jewish people would borrow these kelim from the Egyptians, and Hashem, you know, made them be favorable in the Egyptians' eyes so that they'd give it to them. And Moshe was highly esteemed in Mitzrayim as well, in the eyes of Paro, as servants in the eyes of their people. Says the Chidush Erim in source number 10, he asks a question. He's first bothered, why does it say Daber Na? To please go ahead, speak this unto Bnei Israel. What's Na? Why please? He quotes that earlier, it's not on the page. But he says here, V'yishalu, he's bothered with V'yishalu. What's this whole borrowing thing about? They're going to borrow, the Jews are going to borrow the golden and silver vessels from the Mitzrim? Why not just take it and run, you know? Keep it. Own it. What's borrow? The Koshim, Hayaratzon de Shemaim, Esher Hayalahagdil Eschein Ha'am Be'ini Mitzrayim. Shehem Yitn Lehemes Hakelim V'lam Hitzichu Laholos. Why, if Hashem wanted Bnei Yisrael to have it, then he created this Chein already, he could have just had the Mitzrim give it over to them. Why did it have to be that they borrow it? The Jews borrow it from the Mitzrayim. Im ki kol ha'ashpa she'er Mitzrayim ba'i de'Yisrael u'shenigalu nigal imo kol ha'shefa. If all the shefa, all the abundance, all the goodness in Mitzrayim is coming because of the Jews, then they would take it all with them as well when they would leave. But what's this Yish'alu concept that's there, that Moshe is commanded by Hashem to tell Bnei Yisrael to borrow from the Mitzrayim? Says the Chidush Yarim, a fascinating vart, which is so true back then, and especially for Jews, when our problems with money, you know, it started a long time ago. This was the first time Bnei Yisrael became wealthy. This is the first time Bnei Yisrael became rich. And it wasn't proper in the eyes of Hashem that Bnei Yisrael should be attached and connected to their belongings with a full heart, to be completely consumed by their material goods and wealth. Therefore, Hashem wanted it to be like what? That the borrowers, Bnei Yisrael, would feel like they have an obligation to return it, that they don't own it fully. And through that, they would remember what? That everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nisko l'hachzer eilav yisbarach shemo. And it's going to all go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'derech tzadikim shemeshivin kol abal yadam labar yisbarach. Like the tzadikim who go ahead and realize that in this world we're just passing through. We're just here, we get things, We use it for mitzvahs. We use it to serve Hashem. We get money. We use it to give tzedakah, to support our family, and to do what we need to do with it. But they have that mindset. The tzaddikim that are meshivin kol abal liyadam, they return everything to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uvleos kadesh chag, niftach li Yisrael sha'ari ha'aras ha'gedolos yuchlu l'hamshich ha'shefa binani avos Hashem Yisbarach li'ava akorach li'yiskashu kol kach ba'ashiris kinitzos b'nei mitzarech li'os bilti la'ashem levada. Everything really ultimately goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The lesson of the Chidush Harim is that we need to have, and that B'nai Yisrael needed to have the first time that they made this kin, that they acquired wealth, was the perspective that they're renters in this world. That they're not owners in this world. And when somebody rents something, when you lease a car, so you can enjoy the car. You can, get a lease a really expensive, beautiful, nice car that has every gizmo and gadget that there is today, with nice massagers in the back of the chair and seat warmers and everything. And it's a second cousin that comes in a car. I don't know what comes in the fanciest cars today. I'm not, never driven in one, never been in one, I don't think. But if you lease it, and you know you have to get it back in 3 years, you'll enjoy it. But you know it's not yours. You're not going to become attached to it. You're not going to become consumed by it. Because in 3 years, it's going back. So you'll be able to use it. But ultimately, with something that's borrowed, the perspective, there's not as much of an attachment, of a connection, as if you have owned it. And when the first time Klal Yisrael obtained wealth, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create that connection with the wealth. Says the Netziv in source number 11, he picks up on a different part here. He says, he compares the Lashon here of Vishala Dabir Nabaz Ne'am V'Yishalu Ish Me'es Re'ehu, that you should ask one from his friend, a Jew from the Mitzri, but the Mitzri is called Re'ehu, your friend. And he says, earlier in Gimel, in Parak Gimel, Pasuk HaBez, which is right underneath, so the Pasuk says, Vishala Isha Mishchenta, that when Hashem is talking to Moshe about this, each woman shall borrow from her neighbor and from the dweller in her house silver and gold objects. It doesn't use the lashon of Re'a, of a friend, Re'ehu. Rather, it uses the lashon of Shchenta, of a Shchena, of a neighbor, or as someone who is dwelling in your house. So what's the difference? So explains the Netziv beautifully in HaMikdavar. He says that we see from here that there was a relationship that developed between Bnei Yisrael and the Mitzrim throughout the Makos. That even though the Mitzrim were being totally demolished and destroyed with the Makos for months and months already, throughout the time the Jews were good to them. The Mitzrim considered them friends and the Jews considered them friends. They lived amongst each other. I'm sure the Mitzrim were unhappy and angry at the Jews and Moshe and everything that was going on. But the Jews were still good to them. It teaches the midos of the Jewish people that despite everything going on, despite how the Mitzrim treated them, the Jews didn't go ahead and treat the Mitzrim bad when things were going bad for them. They treated them well. And he says even further, and this connects to Choshech earlier, if you look in the second to last wide line, V'lo od ela v'makas Choshech shelo kamu ush mitachtav gimel yamim ve'ech yisanu kulam gimel yamim. So when they sat on, what? They should be dead. They sat on a chair for 3 days. They didn't get up for 3 days. How did they eat? How did they drink? How did they survive? You can't survive 3 days without drinking, without eating. Says the Netziv, Eli Yisrael Shaya Or B'Mashvosam Hoshitu L'Mazim L'Chol Echacha. Bnei Yisrael took care of the Mitzrim during Makas Choshech. They gave them the food. They gave them the water. They provided all their needs. V'lo Samchu L'Idam V'lo Nakamu B'Hem. They didn't take revenge. They weren't happy that they were in a bad situation. And that's why Bnei Yisrael had this chain in the eyes of the Mitzrim, and that's why they were Re'ehu at this point. Back in Parak Gimel, they didn't have this time to develop this relationship, but you see the midos of Klal Yisrael, you see the midos of a Jew, that even if someone else did something bad to you, even if someone else was enslaved you for hundreds of years, beat you every day in, day out, they treated you like a piece of dirt, we don't take revenge. We don't go back and reciprocate. It's not our job. That's not how we act. That's not how we behave. Even in the worst situations, it's just not what we do. We can walk away from the situation. But in this case, Klal Yisrael were matzah chein because of the way they treated them with benevolent kindness during the Makas Choshech. Moving on to source number 12, there are a couple ideas I wanted to just draw out from the Korban Pesach. I'm about to say a couple of them outside. So there are a lot of psukim that discuss the different halachos about eating the korban pesach. So Perek Yud Beis pasuk Yiral says v'chacha tochlu oso masnechem chagurichem aleichem biraglichem umaklichem umakelchem biyedchem va'achaltem oso b'chipazon pesach hu adonai. This is how you shall eat it. You should have your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in very quickly b'chipazon as a pesach for Hashem. So says the Tam Vadas in Rav Moshe Sternbach in source number 13. Tmua Hadavar. I don't understand. Why are they standing with their shoes on their feet, with their staff in their hand, with their loins girded? Where are they going? They're not leaving. They're eating a Korban Pesach. Hari Oster Lehen Latzis in Pesach Bayis Arabayker. They couldn't even leave until the morning. They couldn't leave at night. They were eating Korban Pesach at night. They couldn't. There was an Isser to leave until the morning. V'im Kein Lama Lahem Lecho B'mitzrayim V'chipazin U'masneim Chag. So what are Bnei Yisrael going ahead and all ready to go while they have to be all prepared to leave Mitzrayim while they're eating Korban Pesach, even though they can't leave for many hours from now? Says Rosh Sternbach, beautiful idea. V'nir mikan goldel choivas hishtokakus l'mitzil f'nezman. You see from here, Klai Yisrael is teaching us the godless of a person anticipating and being excited about a mitzvah that's coming to them soon. Because even though they knew they can only leave in the morning, they were all ready. They were all prepared. They had their staffs in their hand. They had their feet on their shoes on their feet. They had they were ready to run out of Mitzrayim the second they were able to. The hachana, the excitement for the hachana, for the mitzvah that was going to happen of the Yetzi Mitzrayim, to get out of Tum Mitzrayim, is what they were. What this is all about. Why they had to eat the Korban Pesach in this fashion, in this style. And if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 14, he says that Bnei Yisrael had to eat it in the bias. So he says that Sholahotim B'sar Pesach Makom HaChabur, they couldn't leave, they couldn't take out the from the Korban Pesach from that Chabur that they were eating in. He says Mishar Shea Mitzvah Lezechen Mitzvah Zu Masha Kasavim Lezechen Yisi Mitzrayim Mishanasu Adunim Ba'o HaMitzvah Olav Shea Necha B'makom HaChabur V'lo Nutzi Lachut K'derech Malchei Eretz Shekol HaMuchan Lahem Nechal Be'echol HaMirov Am Shalahem. He says, what is this idea about the Korban Pesach had to be eaten like this? That they couldn't take any part in the Chabura? Because they were like kings. When they were leaving Mitzrayim, they went from avadim to the status of malachim. That's how a king eats. A king eats, he doesn't get up, he doesn't deal with anything until he finishes eating. Bnei Yisrael, you got to finish it. While you're sitting there, you got to go ahead and eat it like you're a king. Don't worry, don't bother yourselves with anyone knocking on the door, anything that's going to come your way during that time. And you can look at those nine Latari or Siratskin, source number 15, that talks about the achdus that had to be as part of the Korban Pesach, of the shalva and the ava that had to be there to eat it b'chabura. And it's source number 16 and 17, the Sorna Rabbeinu B'chai, talking about the importance of Emunah B'tachon, and then concluding with source number 18, the Ramban al Torah, talking about why so many mitzvahs are Zerich L'Tzias Mitzrayim, to remind us of the Nisim HaGdoilim, and to learn from the Nisim HaGdoilim that everything in the world is a Nisim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and Shkayachol for coming and out tonight.